Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, did a child witness the impossible while trying to recover in the hospital? We'll find out on today's episode.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like the show, want to keep us on the air, get the bonus content, check out ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to our bonus episodes, all of our advanced episodes of the show, and more. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode. Are you there?
I am.
There you are.
Normally you say something else after that.
I do, don't I? I'm like, what's going on or something?
Yeah, I was ready for a big intro.
I'm sorry.
Like, Carol Hughes, what's up?
Yes. Or like a jingle that sings
your name. And then I was
going
to say something delightfully funny, and now I just went
ruined
blank.
It. Completely ruined it right there.
My delightfully funny thing's just gone.
Well, there you go. That's just
Tony.
How it goes. You know.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. Just, feeding animals daily and...
Well, what's funny about you, though, is every week, either I talk to you or I see on Facebook that you didn't just, like, do something. You know, like me, I'm like, oh, I just took my dog for a car ride, which is really big because he's 15. And so if I was to take him for a car ride, I would post about it,
yeah,
of course. But you're like, hey, I planted a vineyard. And then also this weekend, you're like, oh, look at my kitchen remodels done. Jesus Christ.
I multitask. Like,
the shit I do is so basic. I mean, I haven't planned it. I did write a play, I guess.
That's good. That's...
I've written a zillion of those.
Most people
never
don't.
Never planted a vineyard.
Either have I.
So how's it like... Do you have it set up to irrigate, or do you have to drag hoses out there? How's this going
to
work?
Right now, it's fairly close to the house, so I can just get hoses out. They're only have nine
perfect
vines. So I'm just going to do that initially, but I got the trellis stakes in tonight, and I got some hardware coming in the mail this week. So I'm going to do it right.
How do you, like, one night you're just sitting there looking at, you know, sitting on the porch or whatever, and you're like, a vineyard. That's what I need.
Well, I've been thinking about growing grapes.
Okay.
And I thought, oh, well, and I found some that were the correct type that are for, you know, making wine or something. And so I'm like, okay. And I found a couple of them at one greenhouse. I'm like, okay, I wonder if they have any more at, like, their other location. Then I found, like, seven more over there. So I'm like, oh. And they're really nice, like, large vines. I've tried growing grapes before, but they were always, like, really small plants. And it sucked. They all never made it. These ones are already really going good. So I'm like, this could be the perfect time to try this. So... watched a YouTube video and
exciting.
Did it.
Yeah. Like, I saw that, and then I'm, like, out pulling weeds in my yard going, you will not win. You will not win. Like,
yeah,
that's all I can do, just keep up with the freaking weeds in
sure.
my yard. It's just... So anyway, hats off, Tony. That was very impressive.
Thank you.
Yeah. And it's funny because, like, if I was going to do that, I would be telegraphing that to everybody. I'm going to put in a vineyard.
Oh, we'll see
but
what
you
happens.
Just do it.
Yeah, I know.
And I just see it on social media. So I was, like, highly impressed of all the shit one could do.
It just, if I need to be doing stuff to keep my mind at ease. And if I'm not doing stuff, then my mind just kind of goes nutty. So I always like having projects to work on. And I'm not someone who's at peace by doing nothing. That kind of drives me nuts.
No.
Yeah.
First time hearing about that.
Yeah. So,
no, you are that way.
It is. It's different. I mean, I enjoy if I'm into a show or something watching it, but usually around bedtime, I can't. During the day, it's hard for me to, like, sit down and watch a movie or do anything like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I need to be doing something. So, yeah.
And you do.
But I would like to read more, but I read a lot on the show. So I think I'm kind of like, meh, I don't know. And that's hard for me too sometimes, of just keeping my mind there for reading anything. So yeah, it's a good life.
You need to find, when you read, you need to find something that's really good. Like, get a good recommendation from someone that starts off really good. Mm-hmm. So it'll keep you interested. That's the problem.
I do audiobooks just all the theory. Time. I got through like 3 audiobooks over the weekend too. So
while you're planning a vineyard.
While I'm planning a vineyard and, and remodeling my kitchen.
Right.
And I put a.
And by the way, your kitchen looks fantastic.
And I mowed 2 golf course holes in my front yard too. And I put a putting green in. I did. All these things in 1 weekend.
That's making me laugh so hard. It's like I look back at my weekend. Well, it was very productive, I guess, in a different way. But I sure don't have anything like that to show for.
I know.
People all over, like. Damn.
Yeah.
I got to try harder.
I just have like 1 motor. It's just what mode. It's just go. So, yeah.
That's awesome. That was fantastic.
Thank you. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first letter of the day. It says this incident occurred in 1958 on the island of Mauna, Hawaii. While I was 5 years old, while playing in the back seat of a moving vehicle, my brother accidentally pushed me out of the car and I landed headfirst onto the asphalt road. I fractured my skull and spent several weeks in the Shingles Hospital located there. I was placed in the children's ward of the hospital, which was a large open room that could accommodate up to 12 children. During my stay, the number of children sharing the room with me fluctuated between 5 to 8 patients with various illnesses. As I approached the end of my hospital stay, I started noticing strange things happening in our room in the early morning hours. Toys and stuffed animals belonged to other children, and the ward began to fall onto the floor and move around on their own, taking short hops across the floor. The first time I saw it happen, I thought I was dreaming. But after seeing this happen several times and nights in a row, I knew there was something weird going on. I tried explaining what I had seen to the doctor, nurses, and my parents, but no one would believe me. Frustrated, I became determined to discover what was going on. One early morning, just after 1 a.m., I was awoken from my sleep by a strange sensation. It felt as if someone was in the room with me, staring at me. I propped myself up in bed, scanned the room to see if anyone was there. The room was illuminated by some night lights placed around the room to help us go to the bathroom. So I could clearly see across the room there was nothing there. Suddenly a doll that was lying in bed with a little girl fell to the floor. I jumped under the covers and hid. More shocked than scared, after catching my breath, I peeled the sheets away from my face and focused on the doll. It began to twitch and move all by itself. I took a deep breath and continued to stare at the space around the doll. Within a few minutes, I began to see the outline of a little girl sitting on the floor trying to pick up the doll in her hands. Immediately, I knew I saw a ghost, but it did not scare me. I felt sad at the ghost. I could not hold the doll in her arms. The longer I stared at the ghost, the more features I could see. Suddenly, the ghost looked directly at me, looked surprised and scared. Realizing that I could see it, then in an instant, it smiled and ran to my bedside like she was running towards a long-lost friend. She tried to speak with me, but only moved her mouth, and I could not hear anything. I then began seeing pictures in my head that showed lips or more little spirits that were part of the room. To focus on the picture, I closed my eyes and allowed the pictures to play like a dream. Using my mind's eye, I saw the spirits of 8 children, ranging from about 5 to 10 years old, playing with the stuffed animals on the floor. This lone spirit was only one of the 8 that roamed the hospital. My initial contact with the spirits was brief, but over the next several nights, all 8 of these spirits, boys and girls, paid me a visit and invited me to play with them. They seemed starved for attention, desperate to make human contact. They tried to talk to me, but I could not hear them. We could only communicate through hand signals and gestures or mental pictures. As I began to interact more with these ghosts, I began to wonder where they had come from and why would the spirits of children be haunting a hospital room? Sadly, I discovered the truth behind their demise when one day I was wheeled into the hospital lab for some blood work and vision testing. As I entered the lab, I noticed 8 large brown glass jars in neat rows on a shelf. Each jar contained a human fetus in various stages of development. Sadness overcame me as I realized the tiny bodies in the glass jars were the homes of the spirits that were trapped in the hospital. This discovery made me more tolerant and understanding of these mischievous little spirits. Since I caught every virus that hit the island as a child, I spent a lot of time in the hospital, and these little ones were always eager to play with me. What's your thoughts on that one?
I don't know. That's a tough one. Number one, I don't want to stir up family shit with that person, but the sibling accidentally pushed him out of a car? Like, or her?
Yeah, it's not...
Like, how do you accidentally push someone out of a car? But that's done. And yeah. If it's been settled, it was an accident.
Yeah, that's the second chapter to the story.
You know, and I don't know. I've never really thought... That's a tough one with the fetuses that have souls. Because that goes to the whole abortion question, whether you believe they have souls or don't. You know, if they're viable, like, were they little bitty fetuses? I just never think about spirits being fetuses.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I know.
Because, and I think it's where you fall in that belief of where life begins. But that person was in the hospital and really truly believed that's, you know, I'm not going to, who am I to say that wasn't the case?
Mm-hmm.
I just have never thought of that. You know, about little spirit fetuses. But I mean, I guess if we can believe someone could die and come back and haunt you, why can't we believe in spirit fetuses?
I just have never thought of it. I think we've had some stories on the show that were somewhat relating like that. They're not common, but I believe there's been something, but not like fetuses in a jar fetuses, you know.
Yeah.
But.
Which is weird that, like, the kids would even be exposed to seeing them.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would be really traumatizing if you were a child and you saw that.
Sure.
I mean, it would kind of freak me out if I saw it in a hospital and I'm a grown-ass adult.
Mm-hmm.
But to see a fetus in a jar, I guess?
Yeah.
That's just strange. And, you know, I think that's horrible that the kids would even be exposed to that.
Yeah, like, why is that even...
Especially it's a kid's hospital.
Yeah, it seems a little much. But maybe it's a different time. I don't know.
Rather insensitive.
Yeah, I don't know. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Tony. It's Glenn from Kentucky. I moved. I tried to distance myself a little bit more from what was going on. There's a couple of reasons I wanted to call today, you know, just see how you guys are doing. And the other morning I ended up getting up at work for about, I usually set my alarm for 5:30 in the morning, and I usually get up and get ready and stuff. Well, the other day it kind of freaked me out because I went in to get a shower, came back out, and when I was standing in the hallway getting my shoes on, my daughters were having, at the same time, a nightmare. And it freaked me out because they were in there talking about, leave me alone, I don't want to talk to you right now, I'm trying to sleep. And then they started both crying, and I walked in there, got my girlfriend up, said, hey, you need to come see this real quick. She came in there, and she started freaking out as well. So one thing I can think of is I ran to my junk drawer in my apartment, grabbed out some sage, and started burning it while I'm praying, going to their room. And it took about, I say, 5-10 minutes. I ended up going through almost the whole house praying and stuff like that. And then finally, you know, they stopped crying and made sure they were okay before I started to go ahead and start to leave. But I ended up getting some bad news about the old place I was working at. One of the guys and his wife I used to speak with a lot. We became somewhat friends there. But I understand I still had a job to do, so I tried to keep my job, you know, split from a friendship for most of the people there, because it just, that place is crazy. So it could be your friend one minute and your enemy the next. And if you got too close, it could be your worst enemy. So I tried to, you know, split that up and try to keep it, you know, best equal on both sides. I found out that the guy I was talking about, he ended up going through a really bad fight with his girlfriend, or my apologies, his wife. he ended up killing her. And it kind of hit me pretty hard because, you know, I was somewhat friends with him, and I tried to stay friends with him while, you know, when I left. They're really good people. And he ended up, when he was leaving, he ended up going to Chicago, ended up killing two other people on his way to, through Cincinnati, to get to Chicago. And he put, I think he's still going to plead insanity because he said he has no recollection of what he did. And it's kind of weird because a lot of people there at that place are really nice people. And it just, out of time, there's just, they go from the nicest people you ever met, you meet in your life, to some of the worst people you ever meet in your life. I don't know if it's because the energy of that place or what, but there is times I've had to take people out of the property. And once then they're like, you know, they're out of it. And then they come to, and they're like, hey man, I don't know what happened to me. I want to apologize. And, you know, and it is what it is at that point in time. But there is two other people I tried to keep in contact with with at that building. One was an older lady, and she was in charge of like management or something there of everybody at the building. And she would speak with management of the building. And she's been telling me that it's starting to calm down. There is points in time where stuff would get a little too out of hand. We spoke the other day on the phone, I think, after my shift. And she told me, she goes, honey, there's still times when security get called to a vacant apartment building and go in there because they're complaining of fighting and things being thrown around and stuff like that. Well, when they get there, and if you get the keys from maintenance to go in, you know, they'll give the same thing, security, come in. You know, that kind of bullshit. They go in there, and nobody's in there. Not a damn thing is inside that building or that unit. There's no carpet. There's nothing. It's literally empty. And nothing will be messed with. There'll be a light on, but that's about it. And it's insane that some of this shit still happens there, because there are some times where I end up having a nightmare about that place, and you know, it fucks with me. But that place is something else on its own level. But there's another older lady there that I speak with, and I try to keep contact with her as well. She says she's a medium, but me and her and a bunch of other guards and stuff used to mess with office personnel, because she would go up to the management, used to tell them stuff that only certain relatives and her would know. And we would laugh because some of the stuff is pretty hilarious. So there are some times where she would, you know, tell some stuff she probably shouldn't say, and then they'd start crying or something like that. But she told me that she's been trying to help as many people as she can to pass. I do remember the conversation me and you had a while back about that, as many people there from over the years, and she says there's just too many people to help. Some of them are destined for other places, or there's people that will stay there, die somewhere else, and come right back there. And she goes, the problem is she's trying to close that for it, but she says, as soon as she does, she says something along the lines of something else will open up or something. So I don't know what the hell's going on with that, but she's also a very nice lady. I had an issue a while back with my aunt passing too soon, and she, you know, she came up to me and she goes, I understand what happened. Before I even said anything, I was pretty upset about it still, because it just happened out of the blue. And I have had incidents where, you know, I'll be listening to the radio or something, and my aunt used to call me a couple nicknames, one of them being Ammo or Amtrak, because I was a big kid, so, you know. But I was on the phone one time, and I was talking to my girlfriend, and I could hear it clear as a bell. I said, hey, Ammo, and I said, what the fuck? And it scared me, so I hung up. And my girlfriend's mom was sitting next to me. She goes, why'd you do that? I said, did you hear that? She goes, yeah, who the hell is Ammo? I said, me. She goes, well, how is your nickname Ammo? I said, well, when I was younger, my Aunt Lisa used to call me Ammo, because when I was littler, I used to have a really bad anger issue. So kind of mess with me. So, but she knew about all that stuff. She said, well, she wants to know, she let you know that she's okay, and she understands you're so upset, but you've got to stop and stuff like that. And so from then on, I've been, you know, I try to keep up with her and stuff. But she says that place is just, there's some parts where it's just evil. There's nothing else but just evil. And there's some good spirits there that try to balance it out, but it's like a losing battle for them. So, I don't know. I try to keep my distance away from that place, so I moved a state over just to stay the hell away from that place as best I can. And since the new restrictions from what we're driving, the only thing we're allowed to do over in that area now where that place is drop off a vehicle. So, if I have to come close to it, I still get the, most vibe from it. But I try to drop off as quickly as possible and get the hell out of there. But anything other than that, it's just, that place is just, I don't know, I think it's just tell everybody to leave and blow that place down. But I don't understand, how a building that, I guess it's like a medium-sized building, could hold that much shit from it from years and years. To me, I think it's probably just best to be blown up and leveled. I do try to keep up with your guys' stories online. I do drive a lot, and there's a lot of miles into driving what I do. So I do listen to you guys a lot. I do hope the best for you guys and you, Tony, and your fans and all that stuff. I hope the best for you guys, and I will continue to listen to you guys. You guys have a good one, and that's it.
Thank you for sharing that experience and giving us an update. It's always good to hear from you. What are your thoughts?
Well, before we get to that, I was just thinking as he was talking, there might not be some newer listeners might not know a little bit of his backstory.
Sure.
So I was wondering if you could kind of fill everybody in
a
little bit.
Yeah. If you want to go.
Because it's interesting.
Yeah. If you want to go back in time, that was last year, I think, some point. He was a security guard at a hotel. And or not a hotel, it's this building that has so many things in it. I think it was a hotel at one point, and it's been many, many things. And he would post on our group page videos of weird things that were happening in it. He would call in with updates and share his stories. It was kind of like a little drama. In fact, I think at some point we even put together a whole episode where it was just his stories back to back.
I think
to back.
He did, yeah.
Yeah. And so that was a really interesting, look at the story. So that's kind of the backstory.
And I saw he had posted on the group page a while back, and everybody was like, oh, it's so good to hear from you.
Yeah.
But so the story, he kind of just tossed it out like kind of a big deal, but not a huge deal. Like, my friend, he killed these people. And the way he said it, if I was to say it, it would be really dramatic. But does he think that maybe, because he said all these people were really nice. So is he saying that maybe something, who knows, happened with that person that made him kind of, because he worked there too. And so maybe there was something going on there?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's a possibility.
Yeah, because the way he was talking made it kind of sound like he kind of implied that. But I don't know. But he has, is he just one of those people where, he obviously worked in an extremely haunted environment.
Mm-hmm.
But it also sounds like he might be one of those people where just things happen to him.
I think there's an element of that where he's almost, I call it haunted people, where it's just no matter what, either you're sensitive or there's something around you. I don't know what exactly it is. I think sometimes it is a sensitivity. I think sometimes there's something following you, whether you're sensitive or not, you're going to know it. So it's always interesting stories from him, though. Thank you so much for the update. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's grab this call right here and hear your real ghost story.
Hi, this is Danny. I'm from Idaho. I'm an EPP. I've called in some stories. Right now, I want to tell you about when I worked in a nursing home. The reason why I'm doing that now is because I'm being a security guard outside of an assisted living center, so I thought I'd tell you a little bit about that. My nursing home story is, you know, just kind of like others, but a little different. Every nursing home I've ever worked in has something in it, or more than something, or someone just passing, they linger for just a little bit. Well, the one that I want to talk about is what we called the Shadow Man. We would be working, and I worked the night shift, the one that went all night into 6 in the morning. And the Shadow Man was said to walk the halls, and if something was wrong, he'd linger by a door, or you'd see him pass through into the door. Well, I was out on my little walk around, because I just can't sit and talk for hours on end in the nursing station. So I'm out looking for, being proactive, looking for things to do. And, you know, everybody's asleep. And as I pass one of the wings, I look down to the other wing, and I see the shadow, and he's walking along down the hall. So I start heading over that way, and he stops by one of the rooms and passes into it. So I checked that room out. What did I find? I found a poor lady that had fallen, and she broke her hip. So I, you know, when people talk about how spirits can be, you know, they're always cruel or they're always a demon, well, that's just not true. They're not always a demon. They're not always cruel. There might be one or two here that's here to protect us, and they might be in the form of a shadow person, because that might be the only way our eyes can see him, or it, or whatever it is. Demons are demons. Spirits are spirits. That's all I got to say. But seeing this shadow person, we called the Man in Black, or the Black, you know, whatever. We saved this lady. We helped her because she was nowhere near her call alarm, and she wasn't on her, you know, she wasn't making any problems or having any problems, and her next med run wasn't for hours. So me walking in there, because I was showed to go in there, possibly save this old lady's life, for give her, you know, quite a few more years of a run, which is good. And, you know, another time I've seen the shadow person is when someone is dying, and I'd be doing my little patrols that I always did, and I see him just hanging out by this one room. He's hanging out by this one room, and as I go in and I check this man, and I notice that his blood saturation, or his oxygen saturations, are going down. They're just keep dropping. So I told the nurse, and we got more oxygen on him, and sure, they went up a little, but I got the job of taking his blood pressure every, like, it started out every hour, but it ended up being every half hour to 15 minutes, because his blood pressure consistently dropped. Later on, this man passed away. And again, we contribute it to being the Man in Black that we'd see roaming around. He always warned us of things to come, and or things that were happening, and so I marked that a good thing in my book. And anyway, that's my story. It's one of many that I've given to you, and I hope you can use it on one of the episodes, and I'll be able to hear it. Again, I love the show. Of all you guys that are putting it on, because you guys do such a good job. I don't know. It passes the time. Also, I'm a paranormal investigator, and got one coming up where we're investigating an old morgue, so maybe I'll have some more stories for you. Anyway, thank you for listening to me. Goodbye.
Thanks for sharing that story with us. Thoughts?
You know, I think he's right. Like, I think you see, well, let's just say this. If I was to see a man in black that really wasn't there, I would be scared shitless.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that maybe, you know, it's not necessarily something to be afraid of. You know, if someone's going to die, and maybe that's kind of helping them transition or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's that kind of warning, like, I'm here to get this person.
Sure.
So maybe that's not a bad thing. And if they're not feeling, he doesn't sound like he was scared necessarily. Like, you know, when you work in an environment like that, sometimes, you know, obviously death is kind of part of it. But I don't know. I just think as he was telling that story, I just thought maybe the man in black is there to help them, you know?
I think sometimes that is, you know, what that is.
A lot
is.
Of people there die by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really by themselves.
Yeah, I think sometimes that is exactly what's happening. And it's not always, if it's dark and scary, that it's something necessarily bad. It's just that's how it's presenting itself.
It's kind of a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
When you think about it, you know, it's like, you know, nobody wants to die alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't get to have a say in how that happens, but nobody wants to be alone. That's why COVID was so hard, because family members couldn't be there. But a lot of people in nursing homes and in care places, that happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, years ago, I worked in a nursing home, and it was shocking to me how many people didn't get visitors ever.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. Maybe that's like, it's just a kindness and a help. And
it might be. You know?
I don't know. I'm going to think that.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. That's going to wrap up the show for today. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/Real Ghost Stories and help keep us on the air. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.